So we'll do it again. Bon dia. I think we're ready this time. Grâce y paz. Grace and peace to you from our Lord Jesus Christ. Speaking of the past, two giants of the faith left us last week and the week before. Charles Stanley, most of you have heard of In Touch Ministries, passed away a few days ago. And about a week ago, or maybe 10 days ago, George Verva, the founder of Operation Mobilization and those ships, he's passed away, giants of the faith. My sister traveled on the ship around the world and spent a couple of years there. And the pastor of our church in São Paulo, Calvary International Church, Pastor Fawcett, my best friend, his son, same age as my son Joel, was on that ship, and they did a thing in a program in the Philippines on a stage. They were doing a presentation, and somebody threw a live grenade on the stage. And one of the men in the program was a military man and shoved Nathaniel face forward. He fell face forward, and the grenade went off and got in his feet and his calves of his leg. And the girl beside him was killed. And so George Verva has over 5,000 missionaries serving under Operation Mobilization around the world. And he's with the Lord now. My sister and husband were in India with Operation Mobilization. But I have been in my name, and you see my name, Joseph Cullen Rass. I moved to Rochelle, Virginia in 1949. And was greatly influenced by Children's Bible Mission, who encouraged children to memorize verses and get prizes. Memorized John 3:16, which I knew. I had just gotten saved and baptized in First Baptist Church of Bowman, South Carolina, 1949. We moved to Virginia, and the Bible teacher came, and I said John 3:16 to her, and she gave me a Gospel of John, and inside was a list of 25 verses to memorize, so you could get a wall motto. A wall? What is a wall? I never heard of a thing. What in the world is a wall motto? It turns out it's an 8x10 piece of paper, cardboard, and it says, Jesus saves, or it says, trust and obey, and it shine in the dark. I'm telling you, that's high technology. That thing would shine in the dark. And then you can learn another 50 verses and get a New Testament, and you can learn 100 verses and get a Bible, and you can learn another 100 verses, total 300. Say them to your school teacher before school in the morning, and you could go to camp for free, but there was a $2 bus fee. You go to Powell's Fort Camp, and immediately I said, that's 14 times I don't have to help with the milking. I'm going. And so I memorized those verses. My mother taught them to me. I'm the oldest of five. And, you know, Dixie also got into the program, and then Jimmy got into the program, and then Bonnie got into the program, and Carolyn got into the program. And in our simple home, a dairy farm down in Rochelle, Virginia, 1,500 verses were memorized and said to the school teacher. And, of course, it transformed our family. And I said, you don't have to be wealthy. You don't have to be highly educated to focus on the Word of God. Memorize some verses and see your family transformed, see your lives transformed. I became a missionary, as you know. Dixie also married a Presbyterian minister and served in Brazil many years. My sister Bonnie went on the Dulo ship around the world serving. And my sister Carolyn was a very, very active Christian in various ways. And my brother Jimmy supported us in finances. And as most of you may know, my wife Janet Marie was an outstanding, dedicated Christian woman who impacted hundreds and hundreds of lives. Got Alzheimer's disease about when she was in her late 60s. And most Alzheimer's patients passed away within 3 to 5 years. Janet went 15 years. And I took care of her for 15 years. Even when she was a nursing home, I visited her every day, 7 days a week. And the nursing home was near me, and I could go there sometime back when she could still be fed. I'd feed her breakfast. I could go, and the nursing home would let me come anytime I wanted to. I could go and pray with her as they put her to bed at night and so forth. And so That's why I didn't take a furlough. That's why you haven't seen me in 20 years, because I was taking care of Janet. Now that Janet's with the Lord, I'm taking at least a month a year and come to the States and visit churches and thank them. So I want to thank you. It's hard to believe. I've been gone 55 years. And in those 55 years, there are many a church like this one who never missed an offering in 55 years. I'm talking about every month for 55 years, I have been supported by God's people in this part of the world, the East Coast. And it's the finances that allows me to be there, and it's the prayers that make me effective, to see people come to know Jesus Christ. And, of course, back to my emphasis on the Scripture, of course, while I was at CBM camp. Now, Camp Red Arrow is a kind of a sequence of that. It's kind of a furtherance of the ministry. It went from Powell Fort Camp to the Rapidan Baptist Camp to a Red Arrow Camp. And so Red Arrow Camp is a part of the ministry of the Word of God that my family was involved with. So I went to that camp, I say, so I wouldn't have to help with the milking for 14 days, 14 milkings, 7 days. Camps in those days were 7 days, you know. It wasn't Monday to Friday kind of a thing. And where's I going with that? So at the camp, I was influenced by the quartet from the Washington Bible College. And at the Bible College, I began to understand not only the Bible, but the importance of the Bible and the necessity of the Bible and the importance of sharing God's Word, both with my testimony, but being involved in whatever there was that could be given out of the Bible. And while I was at Washington Bible College, the president, George Miles, every vacation time during June and July and August, he would go somewhere around the world, join up with the team from the Pocket Testament League that were giving out Gospels of John somewhere by the thousands or hundreds of thousands. And I thought, I want to do that. I want to do that. I want to be a part of some organization that's giving out Bibles, that's giving out the Word of God. And I've been doing that for 55 years. But always teaching the Bible, encouraging the Bible, and giving out Bibles. So when I went to Brazil in 1968, the Pocket Testament League in those days, they printed 1 million Gospels of John at a time. 1 million. Bob Evans, myself, and we hired Brazilian godly men to preach so that we didn't have to foreigners, you know, preaching and saying gringos and Americans trying to tell us what we should do. We were using Brazilian. I was behind the scenes running the team, running the projector, driving the truck, and doing work and raising funds. And during my first 3 years in Brazil, the two teams together, we gave out 1 million Gospels of John. First term in Brazil, I was involved with a team. There were two trucks. Now, this was B.C., before computer. This was B.T., before television. And so when you would go to a town and drive around town and say, there's going to be a film at the Plaza tonight and only tonight, and there's a free gift for everyone, don't miss it. And we had gotten permission from the prefect, from the mayor, and we got permission from the chief of police and told him we would not be taking up an offering. And so we had a truck called the Lancaster, because the Christian Businessmen Association of Lancaster, Pennsylvania had donated the money for this truck. Well, it just so happens that there was a cigar company in Brazil called the Lancaster Cigars. So all the men said, I bet I'm getting a free cigar tonight. And the men and the women, there's a little perfume company called the Lancaster Perfumes. And so the women said, maybe there's a sample of a perfume. And, of course, they were wrong. So we get there tonight and say, you're wondering about the gift. The gift is the most important book in the history of the world. The word I'm going to give you tonight, a Gospel of John, which is a part of the Holy Word of God. And by the way, it's not a spiritist book. It's not a Catholic book. It's not a Protestant book. It's God's book for everyone. And so we would show these films on the life of Christ and hand out gospel while they're watching the film. Start at the back and work your way to the front Otherwise, you get crushed by the route. And so little kids would see the system, and they would run around and get one, and then they'd run around and get further back in the crowd and get one. So I saw a little kid. He had them put in his belt back here. He had about 10 of them in his belt back there. And so, and they called every older people uncle. So, oh, Teal. That's Teal. That's English. It was uncle. Oh, uncle. He said, give me one. And I said, do you want one? He said, si, senor. And so I reached behind over his shoulder, pulled the tin out from and took his tin and handed him one. He started to cry. Oh, Tio, he said, oh, uncle, he said, this one is from my grandmother. She's not here. And then he started listing off who he was getting them for. And I said, okay, you can have 11. I gave them all back to him. But I would be going. We would take a two-month trip, 1 month home to recover and prepare for the next trip. And we tried to stay one night for every 10,000 people in a town. So if a town had 10,000 left, we stay one night. If it had 20,000 people, we stay two nights and try to hit the various neighborhoods, you know. And that just influenced my life. The problem was every time I'd go for 2 months, something bad would go home. Joanna, I fell down and broke her arm, and Janet got in a car wreck, and she was sued. And so people said, Colin, you're not doing well. You know, Janet is not doing good. It's too much. And so at the end of my first term, I realized that I couldn't be going 8 months out of the year and be a good father and take care of the family that God had given me. Had one child born in Brazil, so he's a dual national. So what happened was then we decided that rather than having two teams get out, oh, and always, Pastor, where did you get that film? Pastor, you know that I have contact. You could be in the school. You could go to the jail. You could do this, that. No, I'm sorry, we've already got plans. But what we decided to do was open up a ministry, me and several other guys, open up a ministry where we could rent out. Like I said, this is before television, so a Christian film was a big draw in those days. It was just something brand new. And so we would start the film library so that rather than two teams, now we had 20 teams of people going out, and pastors would rent a film, and we were importing films, dubbing them into Portuguese, lip sync dub, not subtitles. And hundreds and hundreds of people came to know Christ because the people showed these films. If they would put up you advertise, this week there's going to be a film Sunday night. And by the way, churches in Brazil meet on the Sunday night. Most churches don't have a Sunday morning service. They have Sunday night services. And so show a film and see people saved. And oh, that kind of transformed my thinking. And so I got involved with that mission. And little by little, things began to change. And 16-millimeter films turned to VHS, and VHS turned to DVD, and DVD is now turning to streaming. And so the message never changed. The message must, of how we can reach the multitudes of people. And so I have been a part of what we call evangelical communications. Where is it? I want to show you that, and then we'll have some time in the Word. This is important. Let's see if I can turn this thing on. Mark has shown me how it works. Where is the on and off button? Here it is. And so that's my name. Where is it? Which way do I aim this thing? Click the right hand. Click which? Right side button. There we go. So the purpose of our mission is to serve the Lord by communicating the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ in the Portuguese language. And our goal as a mission is to be available everywhere that Portuguese is spoken on planet Earth. That God has given me the goal for that because the internet is everywhere. And most of the world now has a cell phone. Even Indian tribes, somebody in the Indian tribe got a cell phone all over the world. So the number of Portuguese speakers I mentioned is 260 million. Portuguese is the official language of Brazil. There's more Portuguese spoken in Brazil than Spanish, by the way. Brazil is larger than the rest of South America put together. And it's a language in Brazil, Portugal, Mozambique, Angola, Guinea-Bissau, East Timor, Equatorial Guinea, Macau, Cape Verde, and St. Thomas, most of you. And wherever the internet is available, I was looking for the very best godly men of God and women of God who know the word, know how to share it, and testimonies of people whose lives have been gone. And so I have a mixture of some of the top Brazilian Bible teachers, as well as people like John Piper and Francis Chan and some of the outstanding people. And this coming week, I'm meeting with Moody Bible Church in Chicago with their AV, with their media committee, to get some of their things onto Portuguese. And they want some of our stuff that they can do in their ministry. So that's coming up this week. These are the tools. Preachers who know how to preach the Word of God. John Piper is one of those, John MacArthur, and others like him we're getting. Sometimes I do some preaching. These are the tools we use. Live programs. This lady is a well-known ladies' ministry. She was abused by her family as a little girl, sexually abused, and recovered, and now has a ministry to Brazilian women who have been abused, and there are many, as you can imagine. And we're doing live program. This is done from our studio. We have a top-of-the-line studio. We also do, I didn't mean to do that one too fast, cartoons for children. Ought to be good as a Christian cartoon for children. We have radio, if you see in the bottom of the screen, Portuguese radio, and the radio is on the internet. You can't hear it with a regular radio. You have to listen on your YouTube or on your computer or Chromebook or something. And there's an English program, and it's country music. It started with the CDs from my house. And every 4 hours around the clock, there's a 10-minute devotional in English that 90% of them are done by me, and I'm still making one or two programs a week. It's on a computer, and it's chosen by random. So every program has to be independent. I can't. The first one is at 7 o'clock in the morning, and the next one's 11 o'clock, and the next one's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, but they're not in sequence. So every devotional needs to be complete in itself to do that. We have one channel with just music, instrumental music, hymns, Christian music, just instrumental. And there are 50 countries around the world, and they keep that radio on all day long to create that atmosphere, and also in Portuguese. We do a weekly blog. I found a man of God. I'm again looking for men who know God, who know the Word, who know how to deal with people. We have a weekly blog that's read by thousands of people, and we also have it. You can read it, or you can hear it, or you can hear it while you read it on the computer. This is Portuguese. We also bring together, this is a Brazilian pastor who every week makes a program. He invites some people that are knowledgeable and deal with subjects that are biblical needs but are not in the Bible, like same-sex marriage or can a boy be a girl, and deal with these issues that are facing our culture. You might remember many years ago, bad things started in California and came across the states and finally hit the East Coast, and then other countries began to be affected. Well, it's not like that anymore. Whatever happens anywhere is everywhere. And so we're dealing with current issues every week with a live program. And these programs are not only live, but they are all recorded on YouTube so that that message is there permanently, and if you are interested in same-sex marriage, let's suppose, you can find a Portuguese version of what the Scripture says on YouTube, even though it was a live program a year ago. You know what I mean? So same way at the church, I am a pastor of an English-speaking church, and the church is 100 years old. It's 102 years old, actually. And I've been preaching there. That's another story. And we're live, and so there are more people hearing it on YouTube than there are present in the building. And so the building that we had was a church that was that we bought by the grace of God. And about 6 years ago, a company came by, one of these multi-million-dollar companies, said, "We want to buy your property and we will pay you double what it's worth, because we're going to take down this neighborhood and we're going to build a high rise 20 stories up, and we need your property." I said, "I'm not interested in selling. You know, God gave us this building, we're going to stay with it." So anyway, long story short, we had to sell. And now we got a new office, very, very modern. And I just show you some up-to-date. This is my office. And I just took these pictures. We've been there a year. I need to take these pictures with people. And then we have the fifth floor, and we're right across the street from the airport. So you can see the planes coming and going from the window there. And then in the third floor, we have a studio that's top of the line. And this is for audio. You can make radio programs, these live programs. Back in the back, where that black is, you can hang a green curtain. And then there's a TriCaster that can make you look like you are by the seashore or on a mountaintop or in a modern building. And but we do some live with just our own equipment. I'm not a technician. But my goal is to teach the Scripture, you know, and teach the Scripture, I do, and finding other good and godly men who can teach Scripture. We have a team. I'm the president by defect. Everybody else left, and I'm there. This is our Brazilian CEO, Marcelo Valim. He's a godly man, a little bit younger than I, but he's in his early 60s. And his dad was a Presbyterian pastor. His dad lost his voice for the last 7 years of his life. He couldn't say a word. Had a pad of paper hanging around his neck and a pen, and he communicated. And people said to him, "The greatest sermon you ever preached was the last 7 years of your life," as he lived a godly life and accepted the handicap that God gave him. Ken, Kerry Anderson is the son of a missionary in Brazil, full-time with us, responsible. This is our technician. This guy is the smartest guy. If you have any problem with your cell phone or your computer or your laptop or how these tables work, call Wallace. He'll take care of it. He knows his way around. This is the man in charge of all our radio ministries. This lady works part-time for us, and she works part-time for ESPN, famous and broadcasters, the sports broadcaster. She's just as smart as anybody I've ever met. And she works for us part-time, knows and loves the Lord. And this is the guy who writes our blog. Marcio, he's a translator for us. This is our secretary, knows and loves the Lord. This is one of the another engineers. And I send out a prayer letter. So God has blessed us, and so your ministry, you're part of a ministry that's touching Brazilian speakers around the world. Now, we do want to finish with the time in the Word. If you will open your Bible to 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, I just want to look at two passages. Chapter 1 of 2 Corinthians, and verse 3. Ready? Find it. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God." Now, in Brazil, prosperity theology is rampant. as well as several types of extreme Pentecostalism. And the promise is, if you will accept this Jesus, your problems will go away. You'll be healthy and rich, and you'll get a better job and a newer car and a bigger house. But that's not true. It's a lie. Jesus said, if they hated me, they'll hate you. In this world, you will have problems. You will have trouble. Be of good courage, you will have trouble, but be of good courage, because God is going to comfort you in your troubles. Now, when you run into troubles and serious problems, there's two things that are about to happen. The first one is that God is going to comfort you. You're not going to die. You're going to live through. It's not the end of the world. God will help you, and you're going to go through this trial victorious. You will. That happens. It happens to us, all of us. It happens all the time. Serious problems. But there's more than that. It says here that we are to help other people who have had that problem. So sometimes God allows trouble in your life, and you will be victorious as God comforts you and helps you through that problem. And then later on, first thing you know, you see somebody else with that same problem, and God wants you to help that person with the comfort he gave you, you can give to that person who's hurting. So God allows some of us to go through an incredible amount of suffering. I had a son killed in a car wreck. You know, and when, firstborn son, when I find other families who have lost a child, I'm Johnny on the spot. I've got to go there and cry with them. I've got to go there and help them. I can say, I know what you feel. I did that. My son was killed in a car wreck. Meet people whose family members have Alzheimer's. I said, well, I know a little bit about that, you know. Janet had Alzheimer's for 15 years. My sister was murdered. Know something about suffering. And the scripture says, and so what I see as I understand this verse, that God allows suffering in your life. He is going to comfort you. You're going to come through victorious. By the way, sometimes when people have serious problems, they throw their faith away. They say, if that's how God is, count me out. But other people say, God was so real to me during these problems. God was so real to me. And then they say, I know I'm a Christian. I know I'm a believer. I know I'm born again because I didn't throw away my faith in times of trouble. Serious problems, and I came out stronger. So remember, double motive. God allows trouble for you, because you are a sinner living with other sinners in a fallen world. I mean, the cards are stacked against us. They really are, you know. We live in a sinful world with other sinful people, and we're sinful. And so the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort any others with the same comfort that we have received. So remember that. And God allows it. And see, he wants not just the leadership of the church, you know, helping people who hurt, but all of us should be out there. So now there should be 50 of us from this church that are scattered throughout Madison and Culpeper and wherever else. And when people have hurts and needs and tragic comes, we are God's appointed people to be there. Now, one more verse and we're done. Turn over just a page to chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians rather, and verse 6. He, God, has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant. Not of the letter of the law, but the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Paul is saying to these Christians in Corinth, this is a new church. These are new believers who have some serious problems, who live in a very sinful city. And Paul says, I know that God will make you competent to share the new covenant. So again, this is not for ministers and pastors. This is for everybody. You are to be a minister of the new covenant. So what's the new covenant? Let's think about that a minute. By the way, the phrase new covenant is only 7 times in the Bible. The first time it's mentioned in the Bible is in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31, where God says there will be a new covenant when everybody will know me. There'll be no place for Cullen Rath to teach the Bible because everybody already knows the Bible. What a day that will be. So the new covenant after Jeremiah chapter 31, it is not mentioned again anywhere in the Old Testament. And you read Matthew all the way through, not a word about the new covenant. Read Mark all the way through, you can't find the word new covenant. In Luke, what is it, chapter 22, at the Last Supper, as they're having the final meal with the disciples before he goes off to Gethsemane and gets arrested and gets, crucified, Jesus held up the cup of wine and said, this is the new covenant in my blood. As I understand it, the gospel is the new covenant. That now as God looks at this lost world, if you will believe in Jesus Christ, repent of your sins, and ask him to be your Savior, you will be saved. That's the new covenant. I understand it that way. Because then the next time the word new covenant is mentioned, so it's mentioned in Jeremiah, then it's mentioned in Luke chapter 22 only. And then when you get to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where Paul is talking about the Last Supper, again he said, this is the new covenant. And now Paul in 2 Corinthians here is saying, you are competent to share the new covenant. So think about that. That's what God has given to you. And then it's mentioned again in Hebrews, the 7 times of the new covenant. So I'm asking God to help you understand that the troubles you have, you will be comforted, and God is preparing you to minister to others who have the same kind of problem. And that we live in a world where, I don't know, like 90% of the world is lost or something. I have no idea how many born-again Christians there are in this area. But be alert for opportunities to share the new covenant. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, that we have heard the gospel, that we have known the Bible. We have had copies of the Bible. We have memorized verses from the Bible. We hear the word preached. But we pray that we will be willing to share your word as many places with as many people as we can. And help us to understand the privilege of knowing the new covenant and being able to share that with people who desperately need salvation. So I thank you for this church. I thank you that they have prayed for me and Janet and our children. And I pray, dear Father, that you will help us to understand and share the new covenant. In Jesus' name, amen.